Where in the world is Justin Wong? It's Overseas Experience, your international news update on 95BFM.
Australia, the US and the UK have announced a new security partnership to counter China, which would see Australia build its first nuclear submarines. The initiative, called AUKUS, would cover defence and foreign policies, as well as artificial intelligence and cybersecurity issues. Part of the pact would see Australia scrap its plan to build French-designed submarines and instead acquire nuclear-powered submarines with technology shared by the UK and the US. Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison has insisted even with a nuclear-powered fleet, the country would not be pursuing nuclear weapons or civil nuclear facilities. Justin spoke to Victoria University's Strategic Studies Professor Robert Aysen on this earlier today.
What are your first thoughts on this new AUKUS alliance between Australia, the UK and the Americans?
Well, I don't think it's an alliance. Listening to the three leaders, to Scott Morrison and to Boris Johnson and to Joe Biden, they all talked about it as a partnership, an enhanced partnership. The US already is an ally of the UK and of Australia, and so Mr. Biden talked about strengthening those alliance relationships. So it's a partnership, and the main immediate focus of it is that it gives Australia an opportunity to move possibly quicker to get new submarines. They were working with France to actually get a new replacement submarine, but those negotiations became very difficult. And so really the main immediate focus of this is basically an arrangement which will allow Australia to piggyback on the expertise that both the British and the Americans have in the building and the operating of nuclear-powered submarines. And so that's a big step for Australia to move into a nuclear-powered submarine. That means there'll be a nuclear reactor on board those submarines. It does not mean that Australia will have nuclear weapons. So I think in that sense, it's a partnership. It's strengthens the relationship that are already strong between Australia and the US and Australia and the UK. It's very much focused on concerns about the rise of China and what that means for security in what the Australians and others, including New Zealand, are now calling the Indo-Pacific region. So that's I think, what this is about.
But strategically, because the French submarines that replaces the current Australian ones are still conventional, but now the Australians are getting nuclear submarines from the Americans, strategically, does that make any sense?
I don't know if they'll get them from the Americans. It might be a British class of because the British have their own nuclear-powered submarines. So we're not quite sure of the details yet, and I think a lot of this is going to be worked out. I mean, from a military point of view, there are some advantages to nuclear-powered submarines. In fact, the French have nuclear-powered submarines in the Americas. Australians, I think we're going to turn this nuclear-powered submarine into a conventional one, and they've almost gone in the other direction now. But there are some advantages because nuclear-powered submarines can actually submerge for a long, long time. They can stay under the water almost indefinitely. And so there was always a debate in Australia about whether Australia should go for the nuclear-powered option in any case. And so I think for those analysts in Australia who think Australia needs, you know, stronger capacity to deploy forces northward and do it quietly into some of those more contested maritime areas, those Australian analysts, I think quite a few of them will actually think this makes quite a good bit of sense. But you will have noticed, I think, if anyone has seen the announcement, the video announcement this morning from the three leaders, you will notice that Morrison and Biden and Johnson were all a bit sensitive about the nuclear aspect, because there are always concerns that if a country goes for nuclear reactors, maybe they are thinking about options for nuclear weapons. And almost all of the countries who currently have nuclear-powered submarines also have nuclear weapons, not that one led to the other. But so that's the big, that's one of the big things that Australia needs to keep saying. And you see all three leaders said, this does not mean Australia is going for nuclear weapons. And Mr. Morrison indicated that Australia will not have its own civilian nuclear power plants to make this possible. So quite how it will work, I'm not sure, whether those reactors will be developed somewhere else and whether Australia will rely upon another country, perhaps the UK or the US, for some of those aspects of servicing. So all of that has to be worked out. But I think in many ways, from a military, strict military perspective, operational perspective, there will be some advantages to the nuclear-powered submarines, but there will also be some countries in the wider region, including in New Zealand, who will be thinking, well, what does this mean about, potential nuclear proliferation risks? Are we comfortable with Australia moving, towards nuclear-powered underwater vessels? So those are the sorts of things that I think will be part of the debate as we go forward.
Speaking of New Zealand, probably a lot of people on the get-go seeing, oh, it's a partnership between Australia, UK and the US. Does that mean New Zealand is being left out? But should New Zealand be concerned, even though nuclear hasn't been part of our defence strategy for as long as I can remember?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we should be too concerned about being left, not being a part of that agreement. Japan is not a part of it. Canada is not a part of it. There are quite a few countries who are not a part of it. One of Australia's most important partners, Indonesia, is not a part of that agreement. Although Australia's foreign and defence ministers have been in Jakarta recently to strengthen that relationship. I think one of what this is going to remind people is that there is a big and growing gap between the types of things that Australia gets into on the military side and what New Zealand gets into. Some of those aspects of this new partnership, it's not just about the submarines, it's about long-range strike capabilities, for example. Those are areas that New Zealand doesn't really play in. So it just accentuates the gap, if you like, between what Australia is involved in. Australia also has a very increasing close relationships with the Quad. That's with India, Japan, the US and Australia. And it has a trilateral strategic dialogue with Japan in the US. So Australia is just involved in these bigger groupings that are more advanced militarily as well. I don't think New Zealand should try to compete with that, but I think it does mean that New Zealand's own alliance relationship with Australia gets put into a bit of context here. And it shows that in terms of the, New Zealand would rate that alliance relationship with Australia as its most important single military and security relationship. For Australia, the emergence of this partnership with the UK and the US is just another one of these newer groupings, more intense cooperation with bigger powers that New Zealand doesn't play in. So I think the one area that they are talking about also possibly cooperating, this AUKUS partnership, is cyber. That's probably the one area that New Zealand is particularly interested in. Of course, New Zealand does a lot of cyber cooperation under Five Eyes. That will continue. But I do think what you'll find is that in some of these areas, Australia's integration with the United States will continue to be at a stronger level, and now, of course, with the UK, than New Zealand's own integration.
My final question will be on China. Well, Johnson, Biden and Morrison didn't imply that the partnership is about targeting China, but especially recently, the British Navy, they already sent their only carrier strike group to East Asia. Relations between China and Taiwan are deteriorating. How would China respond?
Oh, I think China's going to see this as aimed squarely at it. And this partnership would not have happened without the concerns that the US, Australia and the UK have about China, nor would they be talking about the Indo-Pacific region and Indo-Pacific cooperation if they were not worried about China. And one of Australia's main issues about making sure it has a future submarine fleet that can sit quietly under the water and possibly hold at risk submarines of other countries also shipping and maybe do some longer-range strikes. China is the number one issue there for Australia. And so this is definitely about China. There's absolutely no doubt about that. I think China will see this as an attempt to try to check its ability to operate freely in the areas that it wants to operate in. I think it will see it as a strengthening of those alliance relationships that are existing between the US and the UK and the US and Australia, and will treat it as a further attempt at containing China's rise. And I think China will also see this as a further deterioration in the relationship that it has with Australia, which is already very, very difficult, partly because of the measures that China has taken to against some aspects of Australia's economy. So I think that this spells a further deterioration in China's relationship with Australia, but it also means that it will see that the Biden administration is quite serious about trying to balance aspects of China's power, and that the UK, not just with, as you mentioned, the carrier strike group, but just more generally the UK, is coming more into this region to try to play and with China on its mind.
Where in the world is Justin Wong? It's Overseas Experience, your international news update on 95BFM.
Canadians are heading to the polls next Monday, just 2 years after the last federal election, as Prime Minister and Liberal leader Justin Trudeau called a snap election last month and hopes to regain a majority in the House of Commons. Support between the Liberal and Conservative parties have been neck and neck, with Justin Trudeau holding a narrow lead over Conservative leader Erin O'Toole 3 days out from Election Day. Daniel Bayland is a professor of political science at McGill University in Montreal, and Justin Wong spoke to him earlier in the week.
Overseas Experience with Justin Wong, only on 95BFM.